Hey, this is Bria at Sci-Fi Hour here at Joy on Paper Radio, and we are back for the top half of the hour with a new guest, Zachary Wheeler, and we will be chatting with him in just a minute. But first, Big Ed, do we have that book buzz to play for his book?
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz. Today's communique to galaxies near and far includes a 2021 sci-fi humor series starter, Roy, the most chaotic midlife crisis in cosmic history. This is book one of the Pookie Horpocket Presents series. Now, let's download the book buzz. Investigative reporter Pookie Horpocket is on the hunt to solve one of the galaxy's great mysteries. What caused Durangani Space Station, the largest in the universe, to come to a complete standstill? The crisis is known as the Incident. Through tireless interviews, Pookie Horpocket discovers that a bipedal humanoid alien lizard named Roy is at the heart of the mystery, and the likely instigator of the incident. Roy is a plumber on the station who sends alimony to his ex-wife and the children she refuses to let him see. Being a middle-aged divorcee doing hard labor in the slums of a space station leaves him ripe for a midlife crisis. An adventure, maybe? Something a little dangerous? Those closest to Roy didn't know exactly what led him to do what he did, but somehow the now-missing alien lizard became a hero in the midst of everything. Pookie Horpocket is not convinced and will stop at nothing to discover exactly how Roy brought the station to a standstill and maybe even find out what happened to the missing Roy. This humorous sci-fi romp is a wild roller coaster of wit, wordplay, and allegory featuring sharp-tongued aliens and the weirdest defensive mechanism in the galaxy. Pookie Horpocket is a literary titan with a loyal fandom that stretches across the universe. His merits are unchallenged, unsurpassed, and unquantifiable. Zachary Wheeler is a human author, an award-winning science fiction novelist, screenwriter, and shutterbug. He enjoys casual gardening, serious gaming, and wandering the wilds of New Mexico. This is Bria Burton with your futuristic fiction fix, signing off.
Okay, and I believe we have Zachary on the line. Zachary, welcome to Sci-Fi Hour.
Hello, thank you very much for having me.
I am so thrilled to chat with you today. I had so much fun reading your book. It is hysterical. I just want to start by saying this book buzz that you just heard, I don't know if I pronounced some of the words correctly. So if I did anything incorrectly, will you pronounce the station name so that we can all know the proper way to pronounce it?
Oh, I absolutely love that book buzz. You actually nailed everything. I was impressed. So it was like perfect across the board. No notes.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that because I was thinking, oh, I wonder if I've just butchered all the names. And it's one of those things where when you're reading a book, and I imagine everybody listening, you're reading a book and you have in your head, oh, this is how this is pronounced. And then let's say the movie comes out and you hear something pronounced a different way and you go, that just totally changes how I picture that thing now because it's not how I thought. So I'm thrilled.
I had this exact same experience when I started because I got an audiobook. Contract with a production company that started doing a lot of my series.
I love it.
And that's when I realized that, oh, I have made up a whole lot of words that no one has actually heard.
So
there was a lot of back and forth with that.
Yeah, you probably have to send a lot of notes for that, right?
Yep.
In fact, I will just tell you, one of the phrases that made me laugh out loud was the flink that flarked the plumbo. Is that right? That one? I just started laughing. I thought that was such a great one. And there are several other alien phrases that you, in the book, the character, Pookie Horpocket, will explain. This is not perfectly translatable into the human language, but it's like the straw that broke the camel's back. And it's these wonderful little interjections throughout the whole book. So let's start by talking a little bit about you as a writer. What got you into science fiction? What got you writing in the first place?
Oh, that's a very roundabout story that got me into writing.
Okay.
Never set out to be a writer, and I'll do my best to summarize, but I went to school to become a programmer, which I did back in the 90s, graduated with a computer degree, and started that career. And what I didn't realize was that programming has a lot of writing into it. You need a good grasp of language in order to do your job, because it's not enough just to stare at code all day. You have to be able to translate that code into meaningful user instruction, into wikis, into documentation, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I had been doing some writing for a long time. Plus, I was already a science fiction nerd. Douglas Adams has been my favorite author since childhood.
Oh, and I am
of course,
not
I went
surprised considering what you've written. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can see. The whole Max and the Multiverse series and the Pookie Horpocket Presents series is just one big ode to Douglas Adams.
I can see that completely.
Trying to pick up where he left off, and hopefully I'm doing an okay job. But in writing, the doing a lot of writing for programming, another thing that happened was the craft beer movement exploded. And that seems like an absolutely out of left field segue, but
not at all. Not
means,
to a writer. Keep going.
That's right. I was a programmer, and I was also into craft beer at the time, and I realized that I can just create my own review site as a competitor to a lot of the other sites. And that became a passion project, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And 1,000 reviews later, is like, oh, I'm actually getting good at this. And I had honed a lot of my writing chops, and I thought I'd take a stab at fiction because I had an idea for a book. And so I wrote it, having absolutely no desire to publish it, having no ambitions whatsoever.
Oh, interesting.
Like, yeah, I just liked the project. And I got to the end, decided, I wonder if this is good enough to publish. And I started getting feedback, and the answer was absolutely not. It sucked.
So I know exactly what that feels like.
Yeah, so I got to the point where I was like, okay, that was a fun project. I'll just shelve it and go on to something else. But just that little needle in the back of your brain, just like, I guess I can try and improve this. So that's when it started delving into, okay, I'm going to look up tips, I'm going to read more, I'm going to take a really good stab at this. And then it finally got to the point where it was decent enough to publish, I got decent feedback, I got good editing, I got good feedback from agents, and that became Transient, which is the first book in the Immortal Wake series. And that's when it all began, and I've just ridden the wave ever since. I should caveat that. Shortly after I got Transient published, it got optioned for a feature film, and that sparked a massive wave of interest that I've basically ridden ever since. So,
oh my goodness. Now, are you traditionally published or indie published?
Indie published.
Okay. How did that come about, where you were optioned for a film? Is that something you submitted to?
No, this was another absolute left field, was not expecting it situation. So I had been in bands for most of my life. I had fronted some rock bands, did some touring.
Singer, instrument?
Lead singer, lead vocals. Lead guitar, lead vocals. But in the studio, I'm everything. I write everything, I record everything, and then I get like a touring band. Now, this was like me 10 years ago.
Okay, that's a neat fun fact about you.
But the whole point of that was, or the whole point of saying that was that self-promotion was it didn't frighten me. I already knew what to do to get in front of eyeballs. I started going to Comic-Cons and literary events to promote the first book. It just so happens that one of the Comic-Cons I went to, a couple of producers were there looking to get some ideas for a new film series. They liked the idea for my book. I had all my pitches ready, and they bought one of the books. But of course, no idea who they were. Absolutely no idea who they were. When they were talking about making a movie, I thought they were like the parents of film school students.
It's funny. So you were actually selling your book or just attending the Comic-Con?
Oh, I was there selling my book.
You
I had a booth.
You had
I was
your own
promoting.
Booth. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And had no idea that we're both major producers, one of which is actually an Oscar-winning producer.
Oh, my goodness.
That was based out of L.A. So it's just like, I had no idea who they were. So the next week, I get a call from one of the producers. Like, hey, we would like to option the book. Would you be interested? And at that point, I started researching who they were because this was all brand spanking new world to me. So that's when things got real. And it started the wheels that I've been on board ever since. That's hopefully a very weird, roundabout, odd story of how I came to start writing as a side career.
It fits so well with your whole persona and the books. I love it. And so is this one of those things where even currently to this day, this novel is on option? Like somebody one day could decide, yeah, I'm going to pick up that book and turn it into a movie. Is that still sitting in limbo somewhere?
Oh, yes. The novel, the Transient in the Immortal Wake series, that got optioned, and it actually made it into development.
Ah.
And it was getting to the point where production was, there were some production vibes starting, there were acting contracts written, and it was actually starting to get some legitimate traction. Now, of course, anyone who has ever been optioned knows that is just an absolute dart into the blackness of whatever happens. Uh-huh. No one knows what's going to happen with that. So it was just nice to have that kind of recognition. But yeah. Once it got into development with Voltage Pictures, the same ones that did The Hurt Locker and Dallas Buyers Club,
yeah,
it started to get rolling. Contracts were being written, and then the pandemic hit.
Ah, yes.
And everything came to an absolute screeching halt.
I see.
And it died on the vine, but it's technically still in development, technically still optioned.
I see.
They can revive it at any time, but right now there's zero traction.
I see. Okay, what an interesting journey. And then that does transition us right into Roy. Oh, my goodness. So Roy is this lizard-like alien character who lives on the universe's, I love how it's the universe's largest space station. And I just wanted to talk briefly about how you designed this space station. It's a bunch of rings, basically almost like disks. And what even gave you that idea of how to design this universe's largest space station?
Oh, sure. I love talking about this.
Uh-huh,
I've been thinking about it for years, so I'm going to go all nerdy about it. So the easiest way I describe it, and actually one of the characters describes it, is like you think of a stack of barbell plates with the biggest in the center and the smallest at the end. So it's almost like a spinning top with all the different rings having different status, I should say. The more opulent live towards the center, the more crazier things live towards the poles, and then you have the core, which is like the shanty kind of area. But the whole start of this was, and this I should clarify, is Pookie Horpocket Presents is a spinoff series from one of my other series, Max and the Multiverse.
Okay,
so,
yep.
Durangoni Space Station started in book two of Max and the Multiverse at the very beginning. And what I needed was a really crazy inciting incident, and B, an absolute bonkers setting in order to set off the events that I wanted to tell in book two. And that bonkers setting became the Durangoni Space Station.
Uh-huh.
And of course, in writing through the first several chapters, I needed to have a decent understanding of how it worked, to the point where I'm going to dive into the mechanical structure and atmospheric conditions, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I just needed as we like to say in IT, the auto magical explanation of how it worked.
Uh-huh.
And so I did that for the second Max book, and I put everything through an inciting incident where there was a whole bunch of destruction inside the station that involved the main characters from Max and the Multiverse. And that started this seed in my brain of thinking about this station that I couldn't shake. I just loved thinking about how this colossal station actually functioned and see if I could actually iron out some more details. And that became the impetus for Pookie Horpocket Presents. So it's just, I kept thinking about the characters on the station. I kept thinking about the mechanics on the station. And then I got this funny idea of this mess that the Max and the Multiverse crew created has to be cleaned up by someone. So, so that ended up being the character launching point for Roy. So that incident in the second book of Max actually started the events of that book and this book.
Huh. And one thing that I have to tell you, part of what makes the read so riveting is the way you've laid out your book is Pookie Horpocket is a journalist. And he is on searching for answers of, okay, how exactly did this happen? Who is this Roy character? Because in the when the book starts, Roy is missing. And people are hailing him like this hero, but Pookie Horpocket is, I don't think that's actually true. I need to get the story. I need to get the scoop. And so as he goes around interviewing different people to get different pieces of the story, it is just fascinating because he's each alien he interviews is this fascinating character, and they have their own just hilarious like ways that they do things. I just love how you've set up this book, because it really does. It's just a page turner because of the whole setup. What even gave you the idea to have a journalist getting the scoop on what the incident was?
Oddly enough, it was the incident that sparked the idea for a journalist to tell it.
Oh, yeah.
It was like
yeah.
that, those exposés, those investigative journalism kind of thing, because I loved the idea of what the incident was. I had that idea of what it was before I started writing Roy's involvement in it. So just I just love this idea of some major disruption into this kind of size environment. I thought about the details of that, and then I tracked from there. And then in telling the story, this is really difficult to tell in a very linear way without absolutely boring the reader with, and this, then this happened, and then that happened. So, or I could actually tell it through an interview series, much World War Z, if you've ever yep. read that book. I think Max Brooks absolutely nailed the vibe in that book, because it's the telling of the story in the aftermath.
Yes.
And it was so effective in that book. I absolutely ripped it off. Sorry, Max. But it was just so beautifully done and kept your attention so well, which is essentially just people talking about what happened, but yeah. it painted such a good picture. It was such an effective storytelling device that just, that's how I'm going to do this.
Mm.
That's how I'm going to get Roy going. That's how I'm going to get to the incident. It's going to be an interview series.
Yeah, in a sense, Roy becomes a little bit larger than life, but then you even have scenes where the interview is happening, and then there's like a scene presented as if the reader is there with Roy, even guessing, because Pookie Horpocket even says, I'm doing some liberty here, what I think Roy might have been thinking when he was doing these. And so then scenes are presented as if they're just playing out with Roy, you know, dialogue directly from him and his possible internal thoughts. It is very effectively done and very much a compelling way of writing this story. I don't want to spoil things, but do you want to talk about his very interesting defense mechanism? Because all I'll say is it's very weird. And it's a pretty interesting thing that you discover this very early on. Roy is a bit of a bar fighter. He likes to get into bar fights. Let's just put it that way.
I think Duncan has the best line with that. This is Roy's best friend and kind of mentor on the station. And he's talking to Pookie Horpocket about how Roy gets around, and the topic comes up to this defense mechanism. And Duncan, in his very Midwestern manner, says, ghost-eyed acid puke.
Yes.
Which just kills the conversation for a moment because, yeah.
Yeah. Part of the not wanting to spoil things is there is a bigger picture going on with all of that. But I will say some of the weirder aspects of the book, it's effectively used. I think that's what's so important, is that you can have some weird stuff, but if it's effective, it's okay. People will often go with it with you. And so you've managed to do that really well. And this series, this is the first book. So is the series complete? How many books are in the series? Are there more coming?
So the series is at the moment complete. And there's a reason I say at the moment, because the whole series, it's not sequential. It's just a collection of books and shorts and novellas. You can read any of them at any time, as they all share characters and settings, and of course they all share Pookie Horpocket doing the interview. But it's all profiling extraordinary beings on the station.
What a great connection for each book is that this character, the journalist, is going from. Yeah, I love that.
So the best way to think about it is, remember the old show Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous?
Huh? Yes.
Think about that for a planet-sized space station. It's this Robert Hatch. Is that right? Is that the guy's name, Robert Hatch?
Oh, I can't remember.
Robin Leach. Oh, I was thinking of something else.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Robin Leach interviewing crazy characters for Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Of course, it's profiles of extraordinary beings, of rich beings, that kind of thing. Of which Roy was one because he sparked the incident that everyone knows about in the station. And then there are other characters that I also profile. And then what happens is the fifth book, which is a novella, serves as the finale of Max and the Multiverse and Pookie Horpocket Presents.
Ah.
So all of those stories are coming together in one final book. But I say at the moment because there's absolutely no reason I can't write these stories forever.
Sure.
They're independent of each other, and I've got notes upon notes of crazy characters that I could profile ideas.
I'm at your website, and I'm just going to read some of these titles. So we have Pookie Horpocket Presents, Roy, the Most Chaotic Midlife Crisis in Cosmic History. That's the book we've just been discussing. And then there's Nimi. Am I saying that right?
Nimi,
When First Contact Becomes Last Call. Phil, A Maddening Chat with the Smartest Being in the Universe. Boo, The Greatest Bounty Hunter Ever to Sail the Black. And Max, Public Enemy Number One of the Fourth Dimension. These titles are fantastic. I love it.
Thank you very much.
Oh, speaking of your website, ZacharyWheeler.com, this is where people can go and check out your books, order your books. Are you anywhere else in social media, or is the main place to go for people to check you out on your website?
Main place is my website. I was on social media way back when, but I have greatly simplified my marketing strategy, so I'm no longer on social media.
The best way
to keep in contact with me is the newsletter.
Awesome. Yes, I am hearing this more and more from authors that I'm talking to. There is a simplification happening, I think, for a lot of authors, that what seems to be the reason is that how can you focus on your writing if you're focused on keeping up with all your social media platforms? That seems to be a consistent message from a lot of the authors. So it's great to have another one put that point in for everybody listening who maybe is an aspiring author or is an author finding themselves getting trapped in the vortex of social media. And I'm going to spell your name because you have a slightly different spelling. Z-A-C-H-R-Y and then last name W-H-E-E-L-E-R. ZacharyWheeler.com is where everybody can go. And I see you have a contact link there where I think that's how I contacted you is through the contact.
Yep.
So
I
can tell you it works.
Delightful to see your message.
Yes, I'm so thrilled to get to talk to you about this book. What is coming out next? Anything that you're currently working on that you can share with everybody, or any new releases coming?
Yes, oddly enough, I'm on the complete opposite end of the genre spectrum. I'm working on a horror anthology. That will be out relatively soon. I don't even have a series name yet. It's just going to be a collection of shorts, a collection of horror shorts that has been on the back burner forever. So it's nice to mix it up and work on those. The first three are done. I'm now in editing mode. I'm thinking probably by the end of the year, all three of those will be out.
And do you release all three at once? Are they kind of novella size?
Yeah, they're a long short story, short novella sized, so they could be considered either or.
Awesome. I just love it. So readers, get your copies from Zachary Wheeler. Go to his website, ZacharyWheeler.com, and get yourself a good laugh, because I know I did. Thank you so much, Zachary, for joining us at Joy on Paper Sci-Fi Hour, and I cannot wait to have you back on the show when there's more to talk about.
It'd be great to come back. This has been a very fun experience. Thank you very much again for having me.
You're welcome. Have a great rest of your day, and bye-bye for now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, this has been such a blast. Glenn, who is so patiently sitting here, I would love to say thank you again to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
As my first guest for the top of the half hour. And then Zachary, what a blast to talk to him about his humorous sci-fi. And it really is humorous. You've got to go read those. So get Glenn's book, get Zachary's book, and get reading. And if you're a writer, get writing and go ahead and put that book out there. Glenn and I both want to encourage you
Absolutely.
to do all the writing you can and go ahead and put it out. Thank you for joining us and have a great rest of your day.